Thank you so much for joining us here at Sandals Church, because here we are all about this vision of being real. And if the Momentum Project is something that you want to be a part of, make sure you go to move.sc/momentum online. Let's have a great week.
Faith is something that is essential to your relationship with God. Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. You cannot please God. You cannot make God happy in your relationship with Him.
To not believe in Jesus in our age takes way more faith than it does to believe. Listen, your faith, it's a field that's worth defending.
The Bible says, in His loving kindness, He saved us. It's our faith built upon this truth that inspires us to cultivate kindness to others.
Regardless of what the world says about what's right or wrong or what we should think or feel, our faith is this internal compass that guides us. And the reality is that without faith, we cannot call ourselves Christians.
Welcome, welcome. It's so good to be here. So good to be here, man. I have been challenged, tested. I've been thrilled for 40 days of faith, but I'm ready for it to be over. Amen. Anybody else with me? I've met people like in the mall, at the movies, Pastor, I need this series to be over. I'm like, well, we asked God to challenge our faith, and He said, okay, right? So He did. So I'm super glad you're here, man. And I don't know what you're going through, but I know this. God believes your faith is more precious than anything in this world. And that's why God wants to exercise your faith. That's why God wants to grow your faith. If you happen to come to Sandals Church this weekend, man, you came on a special weekend. What we're going to do this weekend, we've only done 3 times in our 21-year history. This weekend, we're going to take an offering to buy a church and to expand 3 churches, man. So if you go to East Valley campus, man, we're going to expand your campus. Moreno Valley, we're going to buy the second building. If you go to Lake Arrowhead, you're sitting in what we're going to do. It's awesome, so praise God. And if you're at Woodcrest, you're not going to meet in a gym anymore. We got a special place for you. So we're going to be doing that this weekend. Super, super excited about what God is going to do. I just want to begin with a word of prayer and pray that God prepares your heart for what He wants to do. And again, if you're a guest, this is not for you, but the offering is. The offering is to create a space for you, because not only do we love God, we love you, and we want to teach you about God's love. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would just bless this time, that you would fill our hearts, and Holy Spirit, we pray that you would speak directly to our hearts, to our souls, and to our minds. God, we only want to do what you've called us to do. So God, we pray that we hear you clearly. And God, we pray that we would be obedient to whatever you've called us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, you can open to John chapter 6. If you have your notes, the passage I'm going to be reading out of John is right there in front of you. It's one of my favorite passages, one of my favorite places to visit in Israel. It's literally called the place of multiplication, the place where Jesus fed 5,000. I love to sit on the hillside and overlook the Sea of Galilee. It's just magnificent. It's just amazing. And we're going to talk about this great miracle that Jesus did. It says, as Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, known as the Sea of Tiberias, a huge crowd kept following him wherever he went, because they saw his miraculous signs, and he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill, and he sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, one of his disciples, he asked, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? What does God do when we ask him to grow our faith? Remember, he tests it. He tests it. Imagine God looking at you. What are we going to do? You're God. Don't ask me. I don't know what we're going to do. He turns to Philip. He says, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them. What does Philip say? We can't do it. It's impossible. We can't do it. We can't do it. Like, it's not possible. Every time I run into a pastor, like, I heard you're raising $10 million. They're like, whoa. I'm like, don't put that on me. Don't put your Jesus voodoo on me, right? Don't do that. Like, everybody loves a growing church, but nobody loves to build the buildings to seat the church. Everybody likes the idea of growth, but nobody likes the uncomfort that comes with growth. Nobody likes that. Like, I always see young parents, they're expecting, right? They're expecting. You know what that means? They don't know. They don't know. That's why we say expecting. You should just put on their bellies. Not real yet. It's not real yet. It's not real. You go to sleep when you want to. You eat when you want to. You go out when you want to. When you're expecting, you do what you want. When the family grows, things change. You go to sleep when you can. Singles, write that down. You go to sleep when you want. When you have children, you go to sleep when you can. Right? When you can. It always cracks me up. Mothers, they're expecting. We're going to be in church the week after. I don't see them for months. For months. They come in like zombies. They don't leave the house. They escape. That's what happens, right? You're just like, oh my gosh, it's so terrible. And grandparents just laugh. Yeah, you were the same way. Payback. Payback. Growth brings pain. And if you think your life is complicated with one kid, wait till you get two. Wait till you get three. Wait till you decide. They have a meeting. Let's all get sick together, right? They have a meeting. Everybody gets sick. Everybody has snot, diarrhea, everywhere. Right? And all the singles are like, gross. And the parents are like, reality. Reality. Growth hurts. It hurts. It's difficult, right? You can't fit everybody. All those people who swore, I'll never buy a minivan, driving minivans. Why? Because they're awesome. They're awesome. They don't look awesome, but they are awesome. Growth hurts. There's a whole section of cars when you have a big family you don't even look at. You don't even go there because life has changed. Look, growth brings challenges. No matter where you are, as your family grows, it brings challenges. And so here we have, people are hungry for Jesus. People are starving for Jesus. And wherever he goes, growth happens. And so now all of a sudden, it's not just about us 12 plus Jesus. It's about us 5,000. It's about us 10,000. It's about us 20,000. So Jesus turns to Philip. He says, what do you think we should do? Philip says, there's no way. It can't be done. It can't be done. I can't tell you how many times I've been told it can't be done. I've had Bible-believing, gospel-preaching people look me in the face. It can't be done. It can't be done. And yet Sandals Church is here. Why? Jesus specializes in the impossible. He specializes in the impossible. He specializes. And let me tell you, the reason that you're golf clapping, because you don't need a miracle yet. But when you need one, man, you're going to pay attention and you're going to shout and you're going to praise God, because when you, God, watch him unleash in your life, when you say, I need faith, I'm going to trust you, it's amazing. See, a lot of us are like Philip, it can't be done. It can't be done. He said, we couldn't even do it, even if we worked for months. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. He says, there's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Not helpful. Can you imagine? We're going to take an offering, try to raise $10 million. Someone says, there's a quarter on the ground. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. I'll make sure that we collect that immediately, because that's going to help us accomplish our goal. Right? Hey, we got a boy over here. Isn't it amazing? The only person that they could find with a meal is a little boy. And here's what I think. This isn't in the Bible. This is what I think. I think he's the only one who didn't know you're supposed to hide your food. Now, you're not going to read that in any commentary, but come on, raise your hand if you're a mom. Do you go anywhere without a snack pack? You don't go anywhere. When my kids were little, we have a portable refrigerator wherever we go. Wherever we go, right? String cheese, stat, boom. Crackers, stat, boom. I mean, you name it. Snickers, whatever. Not Snickers, that's sinful. Sorry, that was a bad example. But it does satisfy. It does. It does. Commercial does not lie. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with such a huge crowd? What do you want me to do? Eat it and burp on people? It's not going to help. It's not going to help, right? Jesus, I love this. Jesus says, tell everyone to sit down. He doesn't even acknowledge the doubter. What good is a couple of fish and some bread? Jesus is like, tell everybody to sit down. Sit down. And Jesus said, so they all sat down on the grass. It says, look at this, underline this in your notes. The men alone numbered 5,000. Do you know what that means? It's not the feeding of the 5,000. It's the feeding of we don't know. We don't know. They don't know how many people were there, because they didn't count the women, and they didn't count, well, they counted one boy. Because he had a lunch. He had a lunch. So then Jesus took the loaves and he gave thanks to God and he distributed them to the people. He took a couple of pieces of bread. He took a couple of pieces of fish and he distributed it to the people. It says afterwards he did the same with the fish, and underline this, and they all ate as much as they wanted. You see, we live in a world of scarcity. Our God lives in a world of blessing. Of blessing. And the reason so many of us have anxiety and worry about what we have is because we're living in our world and not in God's world. God lives in a world of blessing. God lives in a world of generosity. The reason people starve on earth is not because there's not enough food. It's because there aren't enough godly people who share. That's why. It's not about resources. It's about distribution. That's the problem. God has blessed us. Blessed us. I read one report that said literally the earth can sustain double the current population. I was like, what? Because our God is good and he blesses us. And Jesus told his disciples, he says, now gather the leftovers. And I hate leftovers. Anybody hate leftovers? I hate leftovers. I grew up on leftovers. I get a twitch when my wife says we're having leftovers. I don't like that. Right? If it's in a microwave, you've destroyed whatever God made. It no longer exists. Right? It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Man, if you microwave popcorn, I'm going to pray for you. There's something wrong with you. You deserve to be burned. That was harsh. Literally, my kids will bring friends over to our house and I cook popcorn on the stove and they just stare. What is that? Well, this is a flame. This is how they did it in the old days. Jeez. He says, now gather all the leftovers so that nothing's wasted. So they picked up the pieces and filled the 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from them. Now, some of you don't notice this, but I want you to circle the word 12 baskets. You see, it wasn't just 5,000 men who were hungry. We had 12 hungry disciples. Some of you have never noticed this in the story. One little boy brings his offering. One little boy brings an offering. One little boy trusts Jesus, and Jesus blesses it, and it's enough to feed thousands. And, oh, by the way, there's leftovers for 12 disciples. And Jesus is like, remind me again, how many disciples did I pick? Oh, yeah, 12. Eat up, fellas, and shut up. Why is that? Because when you trust God, there's always enough. There's always enough. There's always enough. My wife and I, as we were just headed to church this weekend, she just asked me, she says, how much money's in the checking account? Because she knows the check we're writing. And I told her, here's how much we're writing. We're gonna be good because Jesus has blessed us. There's always enough. There's always enough. When we started this series, here was my prayer for you. I wish that you could go back with me 21 years ago to start the church. I wish you could go door to door with me in Riverside, right? And they thought I was selling Amway. Nothing to get Amway, but they don't open. Or they thought I was Jehovah's Witness. I wasn't dressed nearly nice enough, right? But nobody wanted to talk to me. Nobody would open their door. I wish you could come back then when it was just like, God, if we could just have 10 people. God, if we could just have 100. God, how amazing would that be, God, if we had 500 people? Do you know, I believe this year we're going to baptize 1,000 people in our church. 1,000. 1,000. When I started off 21 years ago, I couldn't even think of 1,000 people coming at once. At once. Man, you guys have no idea what God is doing. Last spring, I did a series called You. Week one, the Reformer, 24,000 people watched the entire sermon online. Can you believe that? 24,000. It means we almost filled Angel Stadium. We probably outpacked them during May that year, right? Amen, Dodger fans? Yeah. Right? Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? Right now, as we speak, there's a group of people in Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas, Houston, we got a problem. There's a little Sandals church growing in Houston, Texas. And people in Texas are gathering together. And you know what they're doing? They're going to take an offering this week for Momentum. Can you believe that? It's incredible. It's incredible. God is doing great things. I watch a video. I thought I planted a church in Riverside. I didn't know it was going to go to Houston. And who knows what God has in store for us? Maybe they're aliens and from Houston, we'll go. I want to talk to you about why we give. Some of you are not Christians, and I'm glad you're here today. I don't want you to give, but if a Christian invited you, you need to look at them during the offering. Right? If he met you on Christian Mingle, just stare at him, see what he's going to do. Stare at the check, accountability. But if you're not a Christian, you're a guest, we don't want anything from you. We want to do this for you. So why do we give? Why should Christians be the most generous people on earth? Write this down. We give because God gave. That's why we do this. We worship a giving God, and so we give. God gives us. God blesses us. God continues to pour out for us constantly. Constantly. We give because God gave. John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Man, if your soul required the death of my son, you're probably going to hell. I'm not that generous. Aren't you glad God is? Aren't you glad God is? Our God is a generous God. He gives. He gives. Man, David, the most powerful king in Israel's history, he wanted so badly to build a house for God, but he wasn't allowed to. He wasn't allowed to, but he could get people excited. And he wanted to give towards the building of the temple. He wanted to give to a place that the world would know that that's where you worship the one true God. And here's the thing about generosity to God is it outlasts you. He says, oh, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we could give you anything? Right? Isn't the funniest part of being a parent is when your kids ask you what you want. Dad, I want to get you something special. But I need to know what my budget is. Isn't that funny? Like, I'm going to get you something nice, Dad. But I need you to up the ante a little bit so I can, you know, I want to get you something good. Isn't that funny? Giving your kids money so they can buy you something. And yet that's what God does every day in your life. You say, well, I work hard. Well, who gave you a work ethic? Aren't you glad you have a work ethic? Who gave you your mind? Does anybody remember standing in line? I want the good one. Who made you beautiful? I want to look good. Who gave you your talent? Who gave you your abilities? Who gave you anything? Here's what David says. Who am I? See, David knew something that many of us have forgotten. David knew he was just a shepherd's boy who got picked to be a king. He says, who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Underline this. Everything we have has come from you. And we give you only what you first gave us. All we can give is what God's given. Man, I want to challenge you if you call yourself a Christian. Don't pray that God increases your worth. Pray that God would increase what you can give. Say, Lord, I'd really like to get you something nice, but I'm going to need you to up the salary a little bit. We cannot worship a giving God and not be a giving people. Ephesians 4:28, the Apostle Paul says this, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. You see, the purpose of work for the Christian is not to make money. It's not to go on vacation. It's not to have a nice house. The purpose for the Christian to go to work is so that they have something to give. And so they have something to give. God bless me so that I can bless your people. God bless me so I can be a blessing to others. Next, we give to give others a place to be spiritually fed. Let me just tell you this. God does not need a house. God does not need a church. God does not need a building. You do. You do. People tell me all the time, well, you don't need a building. I said, well, you haven't preached in the summer in Riverside in a tent. I have. I have. For 9 weeks on a parking lot in a tent. We need a building. I stopped some of my sermons because I thought the audience was going to die. The Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to bring me their sacred offerings. Accept the contributions from all those whose hearts are moved to offer them. Here's what you need to know about God. God doesn't want your offering if you don't want to give it. Isn't that amazing? Keep it. Here's what God told Moses. Moses, you tell the people. I just want the people who want to give to give. That's it. That's it. Why is that? Because God knew that the place wasn't just supposed to be some seventh wonder. It was supposed to be a place where people could wonder about God and get to know him. Jesus got really, really offended one time. And here's why. In Mark 11, 17, he said to them, the scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer for whom? Look what Jesus says. It's not for God. It's for the people. It's for the people. Listen to me. Some of you come from religious traditions. When you build a building for God, it's going to be a museum. God wants us to build buildings for people. So people can come, families can come, kids can check in. They can find out about the love of Jesus and they can connect and grow to God in a way that they could not do on their own. That's what a church building is for. It's a place for people to come and connect to God. And some of you have been blessed by the people that came before you. Here's my challenge. Be one of the people who blessed you. Become one of those people. Last point. We trust that God blesses what is given. You ever ask yourself this question? Which meal was blessed? Only the one the boy brought. It's the only meal that was blessed. Do you know how many husbands I think walked home from that thing today and their wife was like, I told you to give. I told you to give. I told you to give. Can you imagine the conversations on the way home? The fights in the minivan, right? The arguments, and everybody's humbled by one small boy who says, God, you can have it all. God, here you go. Jesus needs it. He can have it. We trust that God blesses what is given. Jesus said this, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and more, running over, poured into your lap. God says, challenge me. He says, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Now, I'm not promising you that this means money, but I am promising you this. It means blessings. It means blessings. I can tell you this, is the third time Tammy and I have done this, and I am so blessed. Anybody regret purchases you've made? Anybody? Oh my gosh. Do you ever wish you could go back and talk to yourself? Hey, self, you don't need that. I have stretched our family to buy a car. I've stretched our family to buy a house. I've stretched our family to go on a vacation. I've put our family in debt to go to a restaurant. I've made bad decisions in my life. I have regretted many things I've done financially in my life. I have never regretted $1 I gave to Jesus. Because a lot of the money I've spent in my life has been wasted. The money I've given to Jesus has been blessed. Been blessed. And here's the thing, I want you to live a blessed life. I want you to be blessed. I'm gonna invite my wife to come on up and we're gonna start the offering. And here's why. Jesus has a lot to say about leadership. And here's what he says. He says, when you're a Christian leader, you need to not be like the leaders of the world. Because the leaders of the world are fakers. They're not real. And here's one of the things that I want you to know about Tammy and I. We will never, ever ask you to do something that we are not willing to do ourselves. So this is the third time, and I don't know how many times we're gonna do this in the future, but I can tell you this, every time I ask you to do it, we're doing it. We're gonna lead the way because that's what Christian leaders are called to do. And I believe that as we've been blessed, we're gonna be blessed. So if you bow your head, close your eyes, campuses, your campus pastors are gonna come out and lead you in this process. I just want you to know that I love you, and Tammy and I love you, and we are going to give this as well. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you would bless all that is given. Lord, Tammy and I are so grateful and so honored to lead Sandals Church under your leadership, to give when you ask, and to give, Lord, for the beauty of building churches and creating spaces for people to be real. Lord, I'm blown away by the generosity of our church. I'm blown away by a group of people meeting in Houston, Texas, who are participating in this offering. Lord, and people around the world, people watching online, Lord, who feel a part of this church or are connected to this church. God, we're so grateful to be a part of a generous people. Lord, bless this offering. And just as a small boy brought forth a small offering, God, we pray that you would bless this, that you would multiply it, God, and we would use this to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.